You're listening to Talk of the Rock with Kayla Darroche, and I have three guests with me today. Could you introduce yourselves, please?
Gretchen Wing.
Chris Lynch.
I'm Ken Renke. I'm the director of Threshold.
Okay, so what are your involvements with Threshold, each of you?
Chris Lynch, I am president of the board of directors. I have been president since 2007, and I've been on the board on and off since 1998.
I'm Gretchen Wing, and I am the secretary on the board of directors for Threshold, and I've been on the board 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And I've been the director of Threshold for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure most people are familiar with Threshold, but could you introduce it in any case?
Certainly. Well, what some people don't realize is the main work of Threshold is helping people with disabilities, and that remains the forefront of what we do. And although most people know us as the recycler, we take that very seriously, because the more recycling we have, the more jobs we have for people with disabilities. So they go hand in hand. They're not extricable at all.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit more about your work with individuals with disabilities?
Yes. So we take people from any program that wants to come over and give it a try. And so we're working with Hope Community Resources. We've worked with CANA's disability programs, and we've worked with the Providence Counseling Center. Excuse me. We also still – we do some work with the state DVR, Division of Voc Rehab. So it's actually very involved, and it's something that people don't see that much. You know, the people come in and see the recycling when they don't see what's going on inside and sometimes outside.
What we've found is that sorting the recycling has been the perfect job for people that otherwise wouldn't have that reward of getting up and going to work. We have taken the step of being certified to have sub-minimum wage workers, and that helps them get a paycheck, and otherwise the people wouldn't have a paycheck. So it's been really rewarding on both ends.
Okay, so it's paid.
Mm-hmm.
And how much is it paid per hour?
It's varied depending on the person's skills.
Okay. And what other, besides sorting, recycling, are there any other jobs that people can perform?
Well, so we do take also, I always forget this one, but we take community service volunteers and stuff like that. One of the things is when people are driving through and dropping off their recycling, that's a great place for people to be socialized and do some work and help with a little bit of training, help people get their recycling in the right places. And so we don't judge their ability. We see what they can do, because I've also had people working our front desk and see one.
So basically, we have several levels of employees. We have 5 core employees, and those are the guys that operate our equipment and do normal plant-type functions. Then we have the people with disabilities who do the sorting of the paper. Then we have our community service volunteers, and we really encourage volunteers from the community to help out in our recycle haven. And so there's all different levels of employment, per se.
Yes, and also we encourage high schoolers to come. We've had quite a number of high school kids, and it's very helpful to them, because when you put on your resume that you volunteered for a nonprofit, it really helps. And so if someone can show up and stay off their cell phone and help us out, and especially mostly in what we call the tent, but the recycle haven, the drive-through recycle, you get I'm happy to write a very nice letter that moves them forward, and it's really a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, along the volunteer lines, we keep track of volunteer hours, and that has helped us tremendously in receiving grants from the Rasmussen Foundation and the Mental Health Trust Fund, because we can show them that the community is supporting us because of the volunteer hours we get, as well as membership contributions. So if anyone has extra time at all to just come down for an hour or a few, it's really great.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved in Threshold?
I got involved in Threshold. Chris asked me to join the board. I've worked with Special Olympics since 1989, so I'm familiar with some of the people that work at Threshold. And Threshold was looking for more board members, so Chris asked me to join the board. We are also looking for board members at this time, if anybody wants to come down and volunteer.
Ah. Well, it's really great that Gretchen has joined the board, and we can always use people that can bring help to us in any way. If someone is an accounting person, and Gretchen has a vast experience, she's actually being modest, with people with disabilities. And so it's extremely helpful. So, yes, we're looking for some more board members.
Gretchen, do you have any insight into how a person incorporates people with disabilities into a group like this, and any particular details? Or
we do have the mixed workforce, and so people that come in, it seems like they get integrated pretty easily. People like their jobs, so when there's new employees, it's usually not a one-on-one atmosphere. They usually come in and they're working with a couple different people, and a lot of the employees have been there for many years, so they're comfortable with each other, and they joke and they laugh around, you know, they joke around and laugh. So it's not like you're just one-on-one and you got a specific job. We want to get everybody in and see what they're comfortable with and see what their skills are, and if we need to pair them with somebody, then we can pair them with somebody.
So it's very flexible.
Their skills. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a good environment for anyone who needs to be learning anything. I mean, in any group environment, you want to have that learning curve. So if you want to get involved on the board, what kind of time commitment is there?
We have monthly meetings, and so the second Tuesday of every month at 5:45, we have a board of directors meeting at the plant. So anyone that, even if you don't want to be on the board itself, you can come to a meeting and see what's going on. So that's one avenue. Otherwise, we have a Facebook page. You can always message someone on there, or you can email or call any of the board members direct. That's, or call the office.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just got here a few months ago, as we all know. I've talked about that a few times. And I come from New York City, where you need to recycle too. But I was really impressed when I came here, and the family I'm living with, they recycle. And I've gotten to go to Threshold a few times, or every week, to see how it's organized. I'm always really impressed with what I see there, and the Halloween decorations recently, I was very impressed by, if you stop by there. So could you give me a little background on how Threshold was established on Kodiak?
Well, it was actually long before my time, and I know that it was formed as a sheltered workshop back in 89, I think. And I don't believe there was any recycling done until 95. And that was actually long before it was cool to recycle in Kodiak. And it's grown over the years. Back then, they would fill a van every now and then. Now we do about 40 vans a year. We're over 700 tons. So the canneries are one reason that we have that high of number, because they have a lot of cardboard to get rid of. And so they actually boost our cardboard numbers quite a bit. But we want to serve them, and we want to serve the public. As I said, everything in Kodiak that helps recycling helps people with disabilities. So it's very important to us to do the best job possible.
So when we started out, we just had one employee and did some minor workforce accountability sort of thing. Then in the 90s, we were at the old Rhino Towing building behind there, and we would bale cardboard. We had the Coast Guard contract for recycling it at that time in the early 2000s. And we had five core employees always with not as broad of workers with disabilities. We moved over to the what's now the Matson warehouse, but we had a spot there for a while. And then in 2007 and 2008, we began to take the steps necessary with USDA to purchase our building. So we've owned our building where we are now on Von Scheele since 2008 is when we closed. We've done some construction to get it to the point of usability for us. And then Ken has continually sought out grants and been successful in getting funding for us, things such as we just finished a remodel in the sorting room. We put our tent up 2 years ago, which has really been a nice drive-through amenity. This summer we were able to get that paved. So we've been constantly improving the facility as well as our services. As Ken said, the canneries have really been more eager to recycle with us. We have business accounts where we actually go and pick up recycling. We're always looking to expand that business. And it's just been continual progression and improvements as we go along.
Mm-hmm. And to go back to basics, what is the date that people need to turn in the recycling? Is there a set date when people pick up recycling? Like, when's it shipped off island?
We take care of that, all of that internally. And in terms of our business pickups, anyone can call any time. We open the gate at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we close it at 6 at night, Tuesday through Saturday. And our business pickups are available at any time during that time. And we're shipping kind of all the time because we're filling a van or we've just shipped one and things like that. There's, it's a lot. 700 tons is a lot of material.
Wow. And I just read your article in the Mirror where you overheard two young ladies, you said. Could you explain that?
Well, I just happened to walk out one day. Recycling could be improved. Our volume could be improved tremendously here. We're extremely convenient, and we have the same number of open hours as the Matsu Valley Recycling, and they have 90,000 is their population that's available to recycle. So we're open a lot, and sometimes we're called inconvenient, but that particular day I walked out and I actually could hear these young ladies talking about, as I mentioned in that article, something about Sunday, Monday. And I just presume that they were referring to the fact that we're closed Sunday and Monday. And in the meantime, they're throwing this stuff in the garbage dumpster. And just, I hate to see perfectly dry cardboard, clean cardboard, go in any dumpster. And so we're constantly trying to figure out what is going to inspire more people to recycle. Now, I go to the schools a lot and speak to classes. In fact, anyone out there, I go to every invitation, and I'll talk about recycling at any level and any length of time. So I find that kids are very open to recycling, but then sometimes they get home and they're not finding that same openness. So I'm not sure how to get to the adults. I one time spoke to several classes at the same time, at one of the elementary schools, and the teachers are telling me the kids were bringing their recycling to school, you know, because it wasn't happening in their home. And I have had many people come through the drive-thru recycle and tell me, I'm here because my kids made me come here.
And what would you tell an adult who's listening? What would you tell them about the importance of recycling?
Well, I've always been a recycler. I mean, long before I took this employment at Threshold. To me, I exposed it a little bit in that article in the Mirror that commodities have to be taken from somewhere originally. And that's very expensive. When we can recycle those things, we can give employment to the recycling system and bring these things in and make new ones out of old ones. I mean, cardboard is getting shipped south and it's being made into cardboard. And aluminum cans, I've actually read in the trade publications that there can be a 2 or 3 month turnaround time where you've thrown that can in the recycle and it's a part of a can that you have that you're using 2 or 3 months later. And that's it. It's very good on the environment because you haven't had to dig that ore up and pound it, you know, pound the ore into dust and then get the aluminum out. It takes they have to make basically a great big hot bowl of dirt soup and use a lot of electricity. And it has to be a hot bowl. So it's a tremendous amount of energy. None of that expended when we recycle these products. So for us, it's mostly a matter of a transportation cost.
But if recycling seems daunting to the average household, we recommend just taking something small first. Just recycle your magazines. Put your magazines in a pile and then once a week bring those. Or just recycle cardboard boxes. And then you'll soon be in the habit of coming down to Threshold once a week, and you'll see all the things that you can bring to us. And so that's an easy way to get started in recycling if you haven't already caught the bug.
I recycle because it saves on my garbage bill. I can have a smaller garbage can, which makes my garbage bill less because I recycle. And as we all know, living in this on this island, our landfill has some issues about being full, and so every piece that we recycle helps out our community and our borough and our landfill.
Mm-hmm. And in your article, you talked a little bit about how recycling saves the city money. Can you talk a little more about that?
Well, I can. It's actually a little bit complicated that the landfill is a big hill. Right now, the new landfill is a big hole. But that space has value. And so it's funny. I mean, the borough charges by the ton for garbage. But the true cost of garbage is how much of that mountain does it take up? It's actually a volume issue. And so the true question about landfill costs has to be talked about in cubic yards, not weight. And so it's a complicated issue, but the borough tackled that, and they found that, you know, the new landfill expansion is $32 million. They found that the cost of the landfill is actually $151 a cubic yard. That's not a lot of space. And so, but that's what we need to go by. What does it cost per cubic yard to get rid of this stuff? And then we can back away from that and go, well, is this worth it? Is this not? I mean, that proved beyond any reasonable doubt that recycling is playing a very important role in Kodiak Island. But that's the true of all islands. I actually read about an island down in the San Juans. They don't have a landfill. You bring something to the island, you have to take it with you. Tourists have to take their garbage with them. And really, we're in the same boat here. We do have a landfill. But it's very expensive, and there isn't another option for us except shipping garbage off island, and I can hardly wait to see what that's going to cost. I don't think I'll be around for that, though.
So every cubic yard that we recycle and don't put in the landfill saves space that the borough isn't spending on how to expand the landfill based on that cubic yard. So that's how we're helping that.
Mm. Well, it seems truly unique to have this issue when it comes to an island. I have heard a lot about how sometimes people's cars go bad or they don't run anymore and they rust up and then they end up on the side of your road. Are you familiar with that situation?
Oh, yes. I mean, I go to all the Solid Waste Advisory Board meetings. We're always, and the public is welcome to those meetings as well. You know, we're always discussing anything to do with garbage. I just happen to be the recycle guy at those meetings, and I can't speak to car recycling at all. But everything that we keep out of the landfill saves us $151 a cubic yard.
Mm-hmm. So what are the plans for Threshold? Any new projects on the horizon or aspirations?
So, you know, I mean, I'm glad you asked that. Right now, another internal thing, nobody sees it, but we're trying to get another forklift. Now, the steps to getting a forklift that costs, you know, $30,000 are complicated. We're a nonprofit. So I go to grants for these kinds of things. We don't nearly, you know, the income that we make doesn't cover that sort of thing. So I have to go out for grants. And we have a membership. That's how the public can help us get a membership, because when I go to a foundation to ask for money for something like a forklift, they want to know if we have community support. And so, you know, we pick up all these businesses. That's community support. We get 400 cars a week through the drive-through. That's community support. And then people will take out memberships with Threshold. And when I can show that we have good support in the community, it helps me to further along these grant initiatives to get things like that. And that's exactly how we got paved. You know, when I sent out the grant for paving the recycle haven, you know, I'd take a couple pictures of the mud hole that we were dealing with and tell them that 400 people are driving through there each week that don't want to get out and step in the mud, you know. And so then we were granted that money. And so the public helps all nonprofits. And I'd like to put in a plug for everybody there, but it really helps us. So, memberships.
Okay, and if someone wants to donate, how would they do that?
Well, we actually have a donation jar in there, and people can donate that way. People will come by and write us a check. We haven't graduated to taking credit cards yet, and that's not anywhere in the near future for us. We're quite small potatoes. But we do a lot more things, too, and the public may want to know we do shredding, 22 cents a pound. That's 5 cents a pound cheaper than Anchorage. And we have a $9 minimum, but the minimum in Anchorage is $20. So there's still a few things you can do cheaper here in Kodiak, and we're trying to keep that sort of thing going at Threshold.
Right. And do you have a website or a Facebook page?
We have a website that's ThresholdKodiak.org.
And we also have a Facebook page, Threshold.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for coming by today and talking about recycling. And thanks, you guys, for listening.